Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I want to talk about a coach's thoughts behind training programming. Before we get into the episode, though, welcome back to all you returning listeners and to anyone who is new to the show. Don't forget to subscribe, to rate the show, to share it on your social media. It is the best way to help us grow. So why do I want to talk about training programming? First and foremost, so that you can identify what is a good program, but also what is a good program for you and what isn't. When we first think about the creation of a training program, we usually want to take four things equally into consideration: your goal, your experience, your injuries, your time availability, and your equipment. All of these are incredibly important, and we can't create a program or pick the right program if we are neglecting one or the other. You don't want to start an advanced training program if you're super new. You don't want to pick a training program that has 5 or 6 days of lifting if you only have 3 times 40 minutes per week. You don't want to pick a training program which is a dumbbell only or kettlebell only program if you are actually able to go to a fully equipped gym. And of course, you don't want to pick a training program that's mostly designed for strength acquisition when you're actually mostly after hypertrophy. And this is probably the most overlapping kind of aspect, but at the same time, there are certain distinguishing features of such programs that we can look out for. So again, talking about goal, of course, we can have performance goals, we can have health goals, we can have aesthetic goals, and most people have a little bit of all of them, but we usually, with nutrition coaching and life, focus mostly on the aesthetic component. That is not to say that health and performance increases won't happen, but because most people come to us with specific wishes such as, I want to lose fat, I want to recomp my body at maintenance, I want to aim for hypertrophy, we just look at most things more through the lens of aesthetic changes. So as I just alluded to, strength and hypertrophy gains are most likely going to happen at the same time, but to different measures depending on what sort of training program you're following. Let's just say if you're picking a training program which mostly has rep ranges in like 3 sets of 3 or 3 sets of 5, you're going to increase strength more rather than actually having your muscle hypertrophy. Whereas if you pick a training program that is more in like the 10-12 rep ranges, a little bit higher, a little bit lower weights, then you might not get as strong, but you might drive hypertrophy just a little bit more. Of course, there is going to be, like I said, overlap, there's going to be hybrid programs, and so many other factors play a role here, like rest time, etc. But yeah, generally, for hypertrophy, fat loss, and recomp, we are talking about the same thing here. We want to aim for something that stimulates muscle growth while also initiating fat loss. And the fat loss mostly is going to be determined by your calories, of course, but also potentially adding in some cardio. Is it needed? What sort of cardio, etc.? So those are other considerations. When we talk about goals, we also want to consider your why. Like, is your why that in 8 months' time you have a physical test for your work that you want to ace? Or is your why that in 50 years' time you still want to be super healthy to pick up your grandchildren? And you might have both, but one might be more important to you than the other, so we want to focus on the more prominent thing, I guess. And yeah, in terms of the differences between recomp fat loss, hypertrophy, like when it comes to your goal setting. We have spoken about this several times in the past, in terms of how to increase your metabolism, what shaping really means, aka building muscle, losing fat, and so on. So we don't want to get hung up by that. But in the following discussion, I'm mostly going to address those three at the same time. So hypertrophy, and not as much for people that might have a pure strength focus or a pure performance focus, let's just say with Olympic lifts, or in the sense of being the most well-rounded athlete, as I said, really more from an aesthetic perspective. When it comes to the experience, this plays a huge role as well, not just in terms of what kind of hypertrophy we can expect in the following weeks or as you start your training program, but of course also when it comes to your exercise selection. For someone who's completely new to resistance training, bodyweight training can totally be sufficient for the first little while. That doesn't mean if you're more experienced you can't benefit from some bodyweight movement. That doesn't mean that if you're totally new you can't benefit from a few machines or tools or so here and there. But for example, so I'll backtrack a little bit when it comes to my own personal training story. Right out of high school, I got into a sports university. For this particular sports university, you had to do 20 different segments of a performance test in one single day. So that would have been basketball, a few elements of track and field. We had to do some swimming. We had to have a racket sport in there, and you were only allowed to fail one aspect. So leading up to that, I was really mostly training sports. I wasn't doing any strength training. And then as I got into this university, they had all these weight rooms which we could use for free as students. And I had put on a little bit of weight from traveling prior to starting university. So I was like, okay, I probably should give this a go. And I like literally just went in there doing some random stuff. I think I did 3 sets of 10 for like just that circuit that was sort of set up with the machines. Didn't push myself, just picked the same weights all the time. But nonetheless, because I was so new to strength training, I did actually see a little bit more definition and so on. And then I kind of got away from that after university. I got more into like just running and yoga. But through yoga, with like all the yoga push-ups and core strength and so on, I became more interested in simple body weight training. And so literally during that second part of university, because I transferred universities from this amazing sports university where we had, I'm not even joking, we had like 17 different gymnasiums is what we call them. So like big sports halls and 2 different stadiums. And this is a university literally just for sports students. So it was a cool time. But anyway, I wanted to transfer over to a different university in New Zealand, mostly for the physical location of that university. And the sports program was definitely inferior to the other university, and the cost of living, everything else was more expensive too. So I was like, I'm a greedy college student. I'm not going to sign up to a gym. I'm just going to do body weight stuff. So from yoga, I transferred into at that time, all these YouTube videos started coming out where it's like 20 minutes of HIIT type of thing, and I saw like incredible improvements. I did like one workout I did every single week, and that was like a push-up workout with 12 different push-up variations or so, and I paired that with running. But I built a really good base. And then I eventually, as I finished university and had a little bit more money, started with CrossFit. And one of the first things the instructor said, like, oh wow, you have built up, you have an incredible core strength, and even for pull-ups. The thing though, when it comes to lower body movements, if you're somewhat fit, I would say after 6 or 8 months, we need some additional weight, because you can only do so many jump squats and single leg box squats and whatever in order to really put more pressure on your spine too, which is what we want. We do want to challenge your spine in that way. We do need to bring in some heavier weights for like deadlifts and so on. But anyway, this little ramble was just a bit of a story to share that I actually started off with like 2 years or so of just, or at least a year and a half, of just body weight straining, really, like when I think of my actual real beginnings of resistance training, so to speak. And with body weight exercises, you can still do so many different variations, particularly for the upper body. Like, I mean, we will consider like pull-ups body weight exercises as well. You can do single-legged squats, as I was alluding to, and it really gives you a good chance to actually connect with your body and to set, as I said, a beautiful healthy foundation. So just the encouragement here. Of course, the more advanced you get, the more equipment is going to be probably beneficial for you. That doesn't always mean that the more the better, but if we think about bodybuilders, which are like these specialists in terms of optimizing every little symmetry and muscle of their body, they do a lot of isolation work for a reason. Most people are probably going to fall somewhere in between that. And so for a lot of people, barbell, dumbbell, kettlebell, some bands is going to be absolutely sufficient. So nonetheless, as I said, we do want to consider equipment overall, and we will always try to make do with what we got. Something is almost always better than nothing, but again, more is not always better, and at some point we might get some diminishing returns. And that's actually also something that happened to me when I just had a barbell and very limited equipment available, mostly during COVID actually. I really started getting elbow pain, a little bit of elbow tendonitis, but also just like my grip strength would give out, because for all of my workouts all the time, no matter how, aside from a few body weight exercises, I had to almost always use my grip strength. So meaning if I wanted to do just a single leg deadlift or anything, you know, you always have to hold on to a barbell, to a kettlebell, so to a dumbbell. And so actually from that then, switching to a gym program where the volume didn't actually change, but I was just using more machines, so had to grip onto things less, my forearm and my elbow got better pretty much after a couple of months. So, you know, sometimes we think the gym is like 10-15 minutes away, I don't want to sign up, I have everything at home. Yes, but if you are someone who is injured, who tends to have certain niggly spots, it might still be worth it. But in saying that, I am a total fan of home gyms as well. Another thing where people sometimes start getting diminishing returns is when we look at the training splits. So some of the principles that I usually consider is that we do want to hit most muscle groups twice a week, very generally speaking, for hypertrophy. So if you follow a training program that does three upper body days and one lower body day, that's not going to be ideal if you want to grow your glutes. So take a look at the program and see, what is my goal? Do I have a particular body part or area that I really want to grow or want to focus on, shaping my arms, etc.? Am I still giving or hitting enough volume for this particular body part? So another thing is, let's just say you might ask, why does the typical bodybuilder style split work for a lot of people then? That's a great question, because in the end, it does come down to total weekly training volume. However, if you think about yourself and you picture yourself doing one day just arm push work, let's just say like just chest flies, bench press, you know, shoulder press, etc. Are you really going to be able by the end of this workout to have the same weights to push as hard as you can? Or would you possibly be able to use heavier weights if you did half of these exercises on a Tuesday and half of them on a Thursday? So if we're equating for total volume, a bodybuilder style split can work, but also keeping in mind that most of these people train 5 or 6 days per week, and the general population usually doesn't have that amount of time. So especially if you, quote unquote, just train 3 times per week, which is absolutely sufficient, if you do it the right way, then usually we want to opt for a full body split, just so that you are increasing your chances of hitting all these muscle groups at least twice per week. As soon as we get higher than that, for example, with a 4-day split, I personally and as a coach prefer to give my clients an upper-lower split, because generally speaking, excuse me, that's going to allow for better recovery between the sessions. And sometimes people also find it easier mentally to connect to said body parts if it's a body part split. I know that for myself, I actually don't enjoy training full body splits, because when I like going into a session knowing what part of my body to focus on, and then somehow I feel like my mind-muscle connection is higher if it's a smaller area of my body as well. So again, the fewer training sessions we have, the more likely we will go into a full body split. That doesn't mean that with a 4 or even 5 day split you can't also have a full day split, but it does have to be a really good training program that's kind of giving certain muscle groups enough rest between sessions. So on average, we would like to see 48 hours before hitting a muscle group again, or a specific muscle again. Overall, also, the fewer training sessions you have, the more compound lifts you will probably see in there. If you think about the time restraint, let's just say you have a certain amount of tasks, and if you only have 3 days to complete those tasks, you might try to do a lot more multitasking than if you had 6 days to do those tasks, where you could single out specific tasks. I don't know if that's a good comparison, but I hope you know what I mean. So if you have less time, you might also see more things like supersets, or even trisets, or giant sets, something like that. Whereas if you have more time, then you might, again, use more of a focused one exercise type of approach. Generally, again, we do want to see the main lifts, the squat, the deadlift, and the press in any reasonably good training program. However, that doesn't mean it might not be switched out from time to time for a Bulgarian split squat instead of the regular squat, or for a single leg deadlift instead of a full legged two-legged deadlift. And this is a tool that you can also use if you're injured in certain things and your program says regular deadlift, but you're like, oh, this one leg I tweaked something, okay, I'm just going to switch that over, as long as the movement pattern stays the same. And you can also consider that if you're feeling really stressed certain days and you want to put less stress on your central nervous system, so less stress on your spine essentially also, switching from double-legged to single-legged variations can be super, super helpful. Again, like I mentioned, we generally want to have one full day of rest between hitting a body part. Again, that works best for most people, but this is also highly individual. Some people recover quicker than others. Some people need 2 days of rest between hitting the same body part again. It might be a little bit of my personal bias and from my experience and with clients that generally that amount of rest between a session is good for not just hypertrophy, but also the central nervous system. Again, I already shared that I personally love an upper lower split. I have been doing an upper lower split probably for 4 years now. 4 years, I'm thinking. Before that, with CrossFit, of course, you do basically do a full body split all the time. I enjoy training an upper lower split mostly for the compartmentalization. You might be pulled differently. You might feel like that gets boring. I have tried a push-pull legs program as well, which is quite fun. And I've tried a body part split as well, which I didn't enjoy that much. I just felt like it was too much for a certain body part in one day. And like I said, the full body split really didn't work for me long-term when it came to CrossFit, just because it was rather exhausting. So when we look at the individual session now, this might not come to a surprise, but we want to warm up, just general warm up for 3 to 5 minutes. So it could be on the Stairmaster, on the bike, rower, whatever, doing a little bit of mobilization, especially in those parts that we want to work on. You know, if you have a lower body day, then maybe doing some lunges. I don't advise any passive stretching here. So nothing where you're standing still. I wouldn't do like the splits or whatever and just try and hold that as long as possible for a minute. I would do something that's kind of like activating. Then before going into your main lifts, in most training programs, we want to see some sort of activation work. So let's just assume you were going to do squat as your first main exercise. Then maybe before that, you might see something like 3 rounds of 10 air squats, 15 lunges, and 20 sit-ups, for not for time, just to start getting these joints a little bit more activated, and then the muscles a bit more moving. Some people also call these primers, although a primer for me is more something that might contain more of a central nervous system activation component. So that could be after those 3 sets of the 3 exercises for general mobilization. It might be something like do 3 sets of your maximal box jump, or just something that's a little bit more explosive. It could also just be a jumping squat. That would probably be a reasonably good central nervous system activation. In bodybuilding, we will also sometimes find something called pre-fatigue sets. So again, going back to the example of the squats, and you might have a hard time connecting with your glutes in the squat. You might mostly be using your quads. If that is the case, we could try something like body weight Bulgarian split squats on each side until you just one burnout set, essentially, until you can't go anymore and until you really feel those glutes. Or maybe a better example, because a lot of people also still really use their quads a lot in the Bulgarian split squat, a better example might be hip thrusts to fatigue and then doing your squats, so that the glutes are more activated for the actual squats. Now, when we start the lifts, main lifts, we still want to do warm-up sets or build-up sets for all the main lifts. So the first one might be just with the empty barbell. Then you might put on 25 pounds on each side or less, I don't know. Do another 8 reps and then add a little bit more. Do another 8 reps and then you found your challenging weight for the day for these 8 reps or whatever. Challenging meaning the right amount of rate of perceived exertion or reps in reserve or percentages depending on your training program. I generally say that even for main lifts, it should feel like you only have 1 or 2, maybe 3 at the most reps left in the tank for this particular exercise. So feeling like this is your absolute maximum. So essentially, basically meaning that when you complete your last rep, you should really feel like you only have 1 or 2 repetitions left. In sorry, I was just looking at my notes here. In describing, so RPE stands for rate of perceived exertion, RIR stands for reps and reserve. We don't like to use percentages that much anymore because it doesn't take daily form into consideration. So if you've had a crappier sleep, your 70% is not going to be the same as if you had a really good night's sleep. Nonetheless, I do think overall people, even though like I try to hone in that we don't want to over-fatigue, we don't want to overtrain, etc., most people generally overestimate how close to failure they really are. So they might say, oh, I feel like I only had one or two left in the tank when they actually were still able to do like five. So from time to time, it really does pay off to test what is your true failure, especially on the accessory lifts, because the risk injury is just that much lower on that front. So for instance, with a leg curl or with a biceps curl, you really push it until you can't anymore. And at least then you know what the true reps and perserve or what the true weight is that you should be lifting. So yeah, with accessory work, we can certainly say like, I want you to only have one rep left in the tank at most. We can pretty much push that to failure most of the time. Again, you don't need to feel like you're breaking yourself every time though. I saw this post the other day that said a lot of people confuse training hard with training at high intensity. So meaning you can really get an amazing pump on, you can really push the weights, but the intensity doesn't have to be hard. If we really want to train at high intensity, for example, also with certain things like an EMOM or like a like really short rest times with more of a Metcon style training, or just generally, you know, that would be with a high heart rate. We probably shouldn't do that all too often. So I quite liked that post that said basically training hard is not the same as training at high intensity. Another encouragement here would be to stick with the rest times that are indicated in your program. If your program does not have any rest times indicated, please check with the person that created the program, or just assess for yourself what the best rest times might be. We don't want to undercut those, and at the same time, we don't want to overcut those. So, you know, don't play on your phone for 5 minutes if it's just an accessory work and you're in between sets. If you're doing really heavy deadlifts and it's meant to be, you know, a minimum of 3 minutes rest, this might be okay. So just assess where you're at. Is generally speaking, if we have shorter rest times, let's just say somewhere between 45 to 90 seconds, that's probably more of a hypertrophy focused training. And if it's, you know, 3-5 minutes or more, it's probably more of a strength focused. So when it comes to the accessory work overall, we really want to make sure we're addressing imbalances, we're addressing weaknesses. Everyone has a stronger side than another side. I actually just realized this myself, that I remembered that I had pulled a part of my left hamstring probably 3 years ago now. And when I do leg curls, when I do them with both legs, I really don't notice anything. Or even during deadlifts, I don't notice anything. But when I do single-legged leg curls, my left leg is a ton weaker than my right leg. So it's super interesting to see, or to see that you can sometimes, I guess, almost trick yourself. Like, again, I hardly noticed this until I just started working on more leg curls in the gym. Because even when I do it with a Swiss ball, I actually never really noticed it. I must not have fully extended my leg. So form is super important overall, but maybe not quite as important during the last couple of reps when it comes to isolation work. So we can sometimes use a little bit of body English. That's absolutely fine. We don't want to start a set with already using momentum, but the last couple of reps, absolutely fine if we use a little bit of momentum here. Now, if you want to incorporate skill work, we want to take that into consideration too. For most people, it will be most beneficial to incorporate the skill work at the beginning. So for more advanced athletes or people that come from a CrossFit background, that could be things like muscle ups, double unders, handstand work, etc. Because in the beginning, we're still kind of fresh. So it should be somewhere between or after your mobilization and warm up and before the main strength part. So maybe as part of the central nervous system activation. Now, if you don't really care too much about skill work, or you're like, I don't really have anything that I want to work on, still some like motor control type things, skipping, for instance, could be a good thing to incorporate. You can do that at the end, though, that would be fine. Or some ladder drills from time to time. For coordination, certainly a great component to have in there. And as I said, if you do want to have cardio in there, or if we do consider for your current goal, it is important for us to have some sort of cardio in there. We do need to consider how far into your cut are you? Are you generally a stressed person or not? Is adding higher intensity kind of cardio, like a circuit or an AMRAP or EMOM, going to add to your stress load, so driving cortisol up? Or if that would be the case, then we would rather want to go with low intensity steady state cardio, especially also if you're more deeper into a fat loss phase already in a calorie deficit. The thing that is often really underappreciated is the wind down, the cool down, and I don't even mean physical cool down, but more of a mental wind down. So this could even be just 3 to 5 minutes of down regulatory breathing. It could be something like putting on some calming music, starting with your already having your post-workout shake, or maybe just sitting on laying on the ground, putting your feet up on the wall. The point of this post-workout wind down really is not necessarily, it's going to be so beneficial or so much more beneficial for hypertrophy. The biggest aspect really is that it brings your or activates your parasympathetic nervous system, meaning it will help you initiate recovery faster, meaning you have more time and to recover in a better way. This sounds like it would be a really, really long training program overall, but if we really wanted to, we could cut that down to 40 minutes. So 5 minutes of a warm-up with a bit of mobility, 5 minutes for the priming exercises, then one or two main lifts, probably total of about 20 minutes, and then two or four accessory exercises, so 10 to 20 minutes, especially if we superset them. If you added 3 to 5 minutes of wind-down time or so, that would be 45 minutes in total. If you only have such a short amount of time, then it would be really important to be organized, to look at the program beforehand, to not play with your phone throughout the set, to really stick with the rest times. I would also make sure to write down what sort of weights you have used in any case, but especially if you are pressed for time, so that next time you know what to go off of or what to beat, so that you can basically get that super compensation that we're after. So consider your overall training goals. That would be really the biggest point. Not just in the sense of strength versus hypertrophy versus anything else, but also just in particular when it comes to specific body parts. And let's not forget that consistency, no matter what, does play the biggest role. So even if you think right now you can start off with a 5-day training program, you really look at, you know, the busy times of the year and think, can I even maintain that when my kids are super busy in school, when I need to drop them off here and there? And maybe start off with just a 4 or 3 day training program. It's a lifelong journey, and consistency is what is going to move the needle the most in the long term. It's going to be much better if you can continue with a 3-day program in throughout 51 weeks of the year, or 48, rather than 26 weeks with a 5-day program and the other weeks no program. So anyway, I hope you found this helpful. If you have any questions in regards to training program, please don't hesitate to reach out, and remember that we also offer some great training programs through our app, 3, 4, or 5-day training programs, hypertrophy or strength focused, or a nice little hybrid, and we'd love to help you out.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. Very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.